By the way, I've been corrected by all of the UConn fans in our market listening. Flannel Fred, whose Twitter handle is at PlazFan, which automatically gives him no credibility, at the Pokester. Hey, Greg, UConn is coming in somewhat hot. They almost beat Wyoming on Saturday when they were a 31-point underdog, and my good buddy Kevin Hedrick, or K. Hedrick, UConn lost to Wyoming last week 24-22. Wyoming's pretty damn good. They are 4-0. Yeah, Wyoming is good. UConn has covered the last two games. Take UConn in the points. That's that's my Brad Powers take. So it's not going to be a walk in the park, apparently, to all of our UConn football fans in the market. We appreciate our Huskies fans. That's my – so, anyway. Man, if they don't beat UConn.
Who knew we awoke the UConn faithful in the middle
UConn football.
Yes.
Yeah, on top of that, go Huskies. Teresa Walker, Associated Press. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning. I'll just say this to the UConn fans in the Nashville area. SEC Shorts has a great little video out this morning, and watch it. It's about Arkansas leaving the FBS basement, and they all settle out with Vanderbilt to watch Vanderbilt 62-0 loss to Georgia. I've got colleagues who are UConn grads. Even they can't wait for women's basketball season to start.
Well, of course, I'm being facetious, obviously. Kevin's a Tennessee fan. I don't know who Flannel Fred's a fan of. But anyway, I just thought it was funny I think it's the first time in my professional career I've been told anything about UConn football. But anyway, Titans yesterday. First, I just want to start with Ryan Tannehill. One of his best, most complete game, the two interceptions notwithstanding. But 18 of 27, 197, three touchdowns and the 56 rushing yards, his career high. And I just thought Tannehill was so good yesterday.
And if not for a couple of kneel downs, he would have had a new career high. He was at 58 until at the end there where they were just taking the knee. So, one of those interceptions went off a receiver's hand. So, there was the one that he kind of threw to Darius Leonard because Tommy Hudson. I don't know what happened on that play, but absolutely. I mean, when you think about the fact that they're grinding out that game and finishing off the win with Westbrook Akina and Racy McMath. I mean, think about this. Racy McMath, the seventh-round pick out of LSU, is out there, and he got more than a few snaps. I mean, he had almost twice as many snaps. Aggravated a hamstring possibly on that long shot down the right sideline early in that game. But, he's out there with Jeremy McNichols. I mean, just, the cast of other characters, the guys that, at the bottom of the receiving corps, shall we say, bottom of the depth chart, and he's out there helping finish off that game. So it was an impressive performance. And as he said afterwards, about the turnovers, it's like the important thing is they win. And, guys, just to note, that was their first win since October 7, 2007, when they've had a -3 turnover situation there. So
wow.
The defense didn't force one. They held them to, think about it. 10 of those points that the Colts scored out of the 16 off a turnover. So, the defense did a fairly good job of holding things down considering they had a short field a couple times.
Yeah, I only gave up the one touchdown and the third down conversions for the Colts, only 3 of 12. That'll win a lot of games for you. As well. And then just the methodical pounding of Derrick Henry, 28 for 113. But the things that stood out to me when the Colts tied it up at 7-7, an 8-play, 75-yard drive, nearly 6 minutes, and then the Westbrook Akini touchdown. Also in the fourth, a 5-play, 59-yard drive, and then at the end to make it a two-possession game again, 14-play, 67, but 14 plays, 67 yards, ending with the Bullock field goal from 32 out. Those three drives, I just thought, I don't care who was on the field, Tannehill just seemed like he was in control.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. I mean, I know that apparently there's some Titan fans upset that it wasn't a bigger win, and it could have, should have been a bigger win, right? If not for the turnovers. Two of those turnovers were inside the Colts 20. So So, you know, if at least you get a couple of field goals out of that, you should be in much better shape. Plus, the, you know, turnovers mean the Colts don't have some easier field. But, you know, it just felt like the Titans were in control of that game, you know, fairly early. Yeah, they go three and out, and then once they got back on the field, you know, they kind of settled in. And, you know, one thing that Ryan Tannehill said after the game is, like, you know, overcoming adversity. And, you know, sometimes it's three and out, sometimes it's turnover, sometimes it's injuries. And I think we saw that from the Titans yesterday. You know, think about how many teams in recent years, not too recent years at all. I mean, you know, that 5-27 years, if they'd have one turnover, they sometimes just kind of, you could see them almost turtling up, curling up and giving up almost, right? And in this situation, they just kept going and kept making plays. And the defense, you know, showing signs of what they were hoping to be, you know, not completely tested with Wentz being limited by the sprained ankle, but their best defensive performance in a couple of years easily.
Well, and you wondered at cornerback. Certainly, Jackrabbit is what he is. He's solid. But the emergence now of Christian Fulton, who knows? Last year he was hurt a lot. I know he got dinged up several times, kept coming back onto the field. But right now, you know, you spend a second-round draft pick on a cornerback, you expect him to be an impact player. And Christian Fulton right now, I think, is it.
Oh, completely agree, Greg. I mean, you know, we didn't see as much of him as I think they would have liked to last year because of the injuries, but he is absolutely coming through for them this season. I mean, you can make the argument that he is kind of becoming their top cornerback. I mean, the guy is there, he's making plays, and the thing I'm going to go back to, you asked Mike Vrabel about this kid, and he makes it clear he's excited. That's the word Vrabel uses, excited to see this young man play this year.
Well, and he's got good size on top of everything else. I mean, you know, a lot of these cornerbacks are like little water bugs running around out there, but he does. But then the other way around, David Long, maybe not the biggest, but he tracked down that running back along the sideline with that little flare pass. His speed, and David Long, and it was just all over the field.
David Long played a ton of snaps yesterday, guys. It just feels like with his speed, and you know he's developing. You know, it feels like he knows what he's doing now out there on the field. It just I think we're going to see more and more of this young man as we move forward.
Teresa Walker, Associated Press, follow her on Twitter at Teresa M. Walker. Is there a mystery to the Julio Jones thing, or are we just going to make too much out of that? It's overreaction Monday, by the way.
Well, I think people are overreacting, Greg. I mean, the simple fact of the matter is, yeah, he's Julio Jones. You want to worry, you want to see him out there, but do you really need to see him out there? I think that Mike Vrabel has always made it clear that players' health is what's going to matter most, and you need Julio Jones in the games where it's Buffalo in mid-October, followed by the Chiefs. And then a couple weeks after that, a game at the Rams. Remember, anyone watched last night's game? You're going to need him for those moments. Do you need him in the fourth quarter when you're trying to mop up against a struggling Colts team? I'm going to argue no. And it's okay to, you know, let him go to the sideline. And, you know, you've got these guys active. Let Cam Batson play. You know, some more of Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. These are guys that you're going to need at times as well, and there's nothing better than to get them some live reps out there on the field. So, you know, calm down, people. Now, if Julio Jones shows up on the injury report Wednesday, then maybe panic. But at the moment, no.
Panic. About panic, huh? Panic. Wow. Run down the streets with your head on fire. Yeah.
Well, that's what people sound like, right? I had people on Twitter saying, "What's going on with Julio?" And it's like, calm down, people. It's okay.
Relax, right? Isn't it what Aaron Rodgers said? Just R-E-L-E-X?
That's what Frankie Goes to Hollywood said.
Wow. What a and what was that movie? Brian De Palma's movie that was in. Oh, you know what I'm talking about?
I do. The one with Angie Dickinson in it?
Yeah, and Melanie Griffith. And, yeah, anyway.
Yeah, I can't remember
it. I'll look it up tomorrow. All right, Teresa Walker with us. You know, the defense, back to the defense, much maligned. And again, I really thought very smart the blitzes and the pass rush were straight on. instead of coming from the side, you'd think, well, you know, okay, he doesn't have any mobility because of the two sprained ankles, yet they went straight at him knowing he didn't have the mobility to go left or right. I thought that was very smart.
Absolutely. What's the shortest line between two points, right? And that's kind of what they did. And it was interesting to see the pressure, particularly Harold Landry. You know, I think he finished up with another half sack. But his amount of quarterback pressures in that game, I saw a stat. I retweeted it last night. I think it was NFL or Next Gen Stats. You know, it was like the third most quarterback pressures at a certain time. You know, so he's quietly putting together a good season to start. Really curious to see what happens when Bud Dupree is able to do more than be an emergency option on the sideline.
Are you out walking, Teresa?
I'm sorry, guys. I'm in Memphis for the Grizzlies meeting.
Top
of the hour.
Okay, well, that's cool. So Memphis Grizzlies media day today, huh?
Exactly.
Wow.
And so, you know, no offense, but it starts at 11, and it's like it's just easier if I walk on.
Well, I just don't want you. You know, I didn't want you to get hit.
I'm not. I know how to watch for traffic.
Oh, that should be, yeah, the Grizzlies. Of course, we carry their games right here on National Sports Radio. It's hard to believe. I mean, even with that, you know, the Predators played a split squad game down at the Panthers, and Sunrise played 40 of the 55 players in training camp. They lost both 5-4 in overtime, 3-1, and then they back at it tomorrow practice. Then they play Tampa Bay Thursday down there. But I guess October is what, Friday? Man, it's here, isn't it? I mean, you're talking about doing the NBA, college basketball is getting ready to start practice, and then the Preds, a week from Thursday night, open the season against the Kraken. I thought I'd cheer you up, Teresa.
Well, thank you, Greg. And college basketball is about to start practicing too. I got an email that University of Memphis is having their first practice tomorrow. So it's like, yeah, that's getting started as well. So, yeah, there's nothing going on whatsoever, right?
Teresa, I asked you this. Were you at the Vandy game Saturday?
Yes, I was.
Bless your heart.
You should get
battle pay for that, right?
I do get paid. Hazard pay might be a good thing sometimes, but here's the thing. This program, you can say, maybe the 59-0 loss to Alabama 3 years ago should have been a wake-up call. You know, I like Derek Mason, but he just changed coordinators so often that there was no continuity. And Clark Lee has walked into a situation that I think people are now starting to realize that it's worse than what they thought. Don't blame it on Clark Lee. I'm sorry, there's been a lot of personnel changes and stuff. You know, he's going to need maybe a year or two more than you'd have thought to have a chance to get this thing turned around. He's got to get more players in there. He's got to get the guys he wants in there. And, Georgia wasn't tested. I mean, guys, I think I've put it in my story. They may have gotten a better workout through the week from their scout team than they got on Saturday.
You know, and you're exactly right. Derek Mason, and we all like Derek Mason, but 2 years too many. There was no doubt about it. And it had gotten to the point now where the level of talent on this team is – well, you saw it there, and I don't think it was a fluke. I mean, the disparity there, 62-0. Now, Georgia may well be the best team in the country. I dare say they probably are, them in Alabama, of course. But still, giving up a touchdown on the first five drives, I don't care. You're in the SEC. I don't care who you are.
Well, and here's the thing. We'll know more about Georgia on Saturday when they play Arkansas, for sure. I mean, Clemson losing to NC State. You know, maybe Clemson just isn't what we all thought they were, right? So it's going to be interesting to see how they move forward. But, this is going to be a tough season for Vandy fans. I mean, it felt like I was watching a game during the Rod Dowhower tenure, short as it was, or the early couple of years of Bobby Johnson, another guy who had success once he got his players into the system.
You did something that I don't want you to ever do again, okay?
What?
Because I was the beat writer for the Rod Dowhower era for the Nashville. Do not ever bring that name up again, because it gives it. I covered that team.
Tough years, right?
Oh my gosh, that. But anyway, but yeah, you know what? And I agree with you. This, if you put this on Clark Lee, I don't care if it was 100-0. That you're off base. You really are. He was left with a dumpster fire. There's no doubt about it. And it's going to take. you know, and it's not a 3 or 4 year deal. I mean, I've always said this is what you saw with Bobby Johnson because he got into that 6th, 7th year. It's going to take you. I think you judge Vanderbilt coaches in years 5, 6, and 7 when they've had total recruiting classes 3 years in a row, flush them their way through. I don't put any of this on Clark Lee, quite frankly.
Greg, the things that stand out to me, this time Clark Lee is a coach who has the chancellor, the AD behind them, an actual fundraising program that is underway and has been underway since March, Vandy United Fund, and he's got, you know, we can see the plan that he's got to get his guys in here. You know, the hiring of Barton Simmons, you know, that's to help identify the guys who can get, who can play at Vanderbilt and fit Vanderbilt, what he's wanting to do. So, you know, there's a plan. There's funding. It's all there. It's just, you know, unfortunately, it's going to take time.
Teresa Walker at Teresa M. Walker on Twitter. Thank you, Teresa. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Thanks, and follow my Twitter feed. At the top of the hour, we're going to be doing some Grizzlies media updates.
Okay, cool. All right. Thank you, Teresa.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Oh, by the way, the reason John Burton didn't ask any questions, John's not here. He will be back on Thursday, taking a few days off. Good for him, too, really.